Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale entitled The Puppet Master's Web. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1. The Invitation. Eliza Moreau had never felt so alone. The death of her mother left a hollow void, one that resonated in every corner of her life. In the months since, her grief had festered, isolating her from the friends and routines that once defined her world. She wandered the city aimlessly, searching for meaning, for something to tether her fractured soul. It was on one such wandering night, in the pouring rain, that she saw the flyer. Find purpose. Find peace. Join the sanctuary. The words were written in bold, accompanied by a radiant image of a sunrise cresting over a tranquil field. Below the image, a location was listed, a retreat just beyond the outskirts of the city. Skepticism flickered through her, but her desperation outweighed reason. She folded the flyer into her pocket and decided to attend. The arrival. Eliza arrived at the retreat 3 days later, a sprawling estate nestled in a valley, shrouded by thick pines. It was a place that seemed almost otherworldly, the kind of setting that belonged in a dream or a memory. A wooden archway at the entrance bore a carved inscription. Through sacrifice, we are reborn. A man in his 40s, dressed in simple white robes, greeted her with a serene smile. His eyes were disarming, brimming with kindness, yet behind them lurked something she couldn't quite place. "Welcome to the sanctuary," he said, extending his hand. "I'm Amos Burke." "Eliza Moreau," she replied hesitantly, shaking his hand. Amos gestured toward the main building, a sprawling mansion with large glass windows that reflected the surrounding forest. "You're just in time for the evening assembly. Our leader, Jonathan Kane, will be addressing everyone tonight." As she followed him, Eliza noticed others milling about the grounds. They all wore similar white robes and moved with an air of quiet purpose. Some were gardening, others meditating in groups. It seemed idyllic, peaceful, everything the flyer had promised. But something in her gut twisted as she crossed the threshold into the mansion. The charisma of Jonathan Kane. The assembly hall was a grand room with vaulted ceilings and rows of wooden pews. A golden light bathed the space, emanating from chandeliers above. At the front of the room stood Jonathan Kane. He was younger than Eliza expected, perhaps in his late 30s, with a commanding presence that was impossible to ignore. His piercing blue eyes seemed to see straight through her, and his voice carried a melodic cadence that captivated the room. "My dear brothers and sisters," he began, his arms outstretched, "we live in a broken world. A world that has forgotten the value of community, of purpose. But here, within these walls, we are building something greater. A sanctuary from the chaos." Eliza found herself leaning forward, hanging on his every word. He spoke of pain and loss, of the yearning for something more. It was as though he had plucked the thoughts straight from her mind and laid them bare for all to see. "Together, we will create a world where justice prevails," Jonathan continued. "Where each of us is a part of something greater than ourselves." The crowd erupted in applause, their fervor palpable. Eliza clapped along, her initial unease giving way to a flicker of hope. Perhaps this was what she needed, a fresh start, a purpose. The first test. Later that evening, Eliza was shown to her quarters, a modest but comfortable room within the mansion. As she unpacked her belongings, a knock at the door startled her. It was Amos, carrying a small wooden box. "Jonathan has a gift for all new arrivals," he said, handing it to her. Inside was a delicate silver pendant in the shape of a web, its center adorned with a tiny black gemstone. "It symbolizes our unity," Amos explained. "The web represents our interconnectedness, and the stone at its heart is Jonathan's vision, holding us all together." Eliza slipped the pendant around her neck, feeling its cool weight against her skin. "Thank you," she murmured, though the gesture felt oddly ceremonial. "Tomorrow," Amos said, his tone shifting to something more serious, "you'll begin your initiation. Rest well, Eliza." You'll need your strength. The whisper of doubt. That night, as Eliza lay in bed, the events of the day swirled in her mind. Jonathan's voice, his promises, the fervor of the followers, it all seemed too perfect. Yet, a small voice inside her whispered a warning. Be careful. All webs are spun to trap. She silenced the thought and turned over, clutching the pendant tightly. For now, she was willing to believe in the sanctuary. For now, she would let herself be caught. But deep down, she knew the web would not release her so easily. Chapter 2. The Indoctrination. A New Dawn. Eliza awoke to the sound of a bell tolling in the distance, its soft chime cutting through the early morning silence. The air was cool and carried the earthy scent of pine and dew. She dressed quickly and joined the stream of followers heading toward the dining hall, their white robes glowing faintly in the dawn light. The hall buzzed with quiet energy. Long wooden tables were lined with simple but hearty breakfasts, fresh bread, fruits, and steaming bowls of oatmeal. The followers moved in harmony, their smiles warm yet subdued. It was a world apart from the chaos of the city Eliza had left behind. Eliza. Amos Burke appeared beside her, carrying a tray. Mind if I join you? She nodded, relieved to see a familiar face. As they sat, Amos gestured toward the room. This is your family now. Every person here has chosen to walk this path, to leave behind the noise and selfishness of the outside world. Eliza glanced around, her gaze lingering on the serene expressions of those around her. It was hard not to feel a sense of belonging. Yet, a small part of her resisted fully surrendering to the moment. What happens next? She asked. Amos smiled. Today marks the beginning of your journey. Jonathan will guide you through it. The leader's lesson. After breakfast, the followers gathered in a smaller hall where Jonathan Kane awaited them. He stood in the center of the room, dressed in a flowing black robe that contrasted sharply with the white attire of his followers. It made him stand out even more, an unmistakable focal point. Good morning, he began, his voice calm yet commanding. Today, we welcome new souls into our sanctuary. These individuals have taken the first step toward a brighter future. His gaze landed on Eliza, and for a brief moment, she felt as though the rest of the room had disappeared. A shiver ran down her spine, not fear, but an unsettling sense of being completely seen. Our world teaches us to prioritize ourselves above all else, Jonathan continued. But here, we embrace a higher purpose. We serve the greater good. We make sacrifices for something larger than ourselves. Eliza found herself nodding along with the crowd. The words resonated, filling the void within her with a sense of direction. Jonathan stepped closer to her group, his piercing blue eyes sweeping over each recruit. Sacrifice is not loss, he said, his tone softening. It is transformation. And transformation begins with trust. Do you trust me? The room was silent, the weight of his question hanging in the air. Eliza hesitated, her heart pounding. Finally, she whispered, yes. Jonathan smiled, a slow, knowing curve of his lips. Good. The ritual of trust. That afternoon, the new recruits were led to a secluded clearing in the forest, where a large stone altar stood beneath the dappled sunlight. The older followers formed a circle around the altar, their expressions solemn. Jonathan stood at the center, holding a small blade in one hand and a white dove in the other. The sight of the bird made Eliza's stomach twist. It was beautiful, its feathers pristine. This is the ritual of trust, Jonathan announced. The first step in shedding the chains of your past. He raised the blade and, with swift precision, drew it across the dove's throat. Its blood spilled onto the altar, staining the stone a deep crimson. Eliza gasped, her breath catching in her throat. Around her, the other recruits stood silent, their faces a mix of reverence and unease. Through sacrifice, we honor our bond, Jonathan said, his voice steady. And through this bond, we are reborn. He turned to Eliza, holding the blade out to her. Will you take the next step, Eliza? Her hands trembled as she reached for the blade. Every instinct screamed at her to refuse, to run, but the weight of the followers' gazes anchored her in place. She couldn't falter. Not now. Jonathan handed her a small bundle wrapped in cloth. When she unwrapped it, she found a tiny mouse, its beady eyes staring up at her. Her stomach churned. "Do not fear," Jonathan said, his voice gentle but firm. "This act is not cruelty. It is a release, a symbol of your commitment to our shared purpose." Eliza hesitated, the blade hovering over the trembling creature. Her chest tightened, her breath shallow. Finally, with tears in her eyes, she pressed the blade down. The circle erupted in cheers and applause. Jonathan placed a hand on her shoulder, his touch both comforting and possessive. "Well done," he said softly. "You are one of us now. Seeds of doubt." That night, as Eliza sat alone in her room, the events of the day replayed in her mind. The blood, the cheers, Jonathan's approving smile, it all felt surreal. She touched the silver pendant around her neck, its weight heavier than ever. A knock at the door startled her. When she opened it, Michael Turner stood there, his expression unreadable. "Can I come in?" he asked. She stepped aside, and he entered, closing the door behind him. For a moment, neither of them spoke. Then Michael said, "How are you holding up?" Eliza hesitated. I don't know. Today was intense. Michael nodded, his gaze distant. It always is. They want to break you down so they can rebuild you in their image. His words sent a chill through her. "Why are you telling me this?" "Because you don't seem like the type who'll just follow blindly," he said, meeting her eyes. "Neither am I." Eliza's heart raced. Was he offering her an ally, or was this some kind of test? "You should be careful," he added, his voice low. "Jonathan isn't what he seems." Before she could respond, he turned and left, leaving her alone with her racing thoughts. As the door clicked shut, Eliza realized she was no longer sure who she could trust. Chapter 3. The Mission. A New Purpose. The days following the ritual of trust blurred into a rhythm of tasks and teachings. Eliza was assigned to various duties around the sanctuary, from tending the gardens to preparing meals for the community. The work, though physically demanding, was accompanied by a strange sense of satisfaction. Each act, no matter how small, was framed as a contribution to the greater good. But the unease that had taken root during the ritual lingered. Michael's cryptic warning echoed in her mind, and every interaction with Jonathan Kane felt like walking a tightrope. His charisma was undeniable, but beneath it lay an undercurrent of control that Eliza couldn't ignore. One evening, Amos approached her during dinner. "Eliza," he said, his smile warm, "Jonathan has selected you for a special mission. He believes you're ready." Her stomach tightened. "A mission?" Amos nodded. "It's a chance to prove your dedication to our cause. Meet him in the study after the assembly tonight." The study. Jonathan's study was a stark contrast to the rest of the sanctuary. Where the communal spaces were simple and serene, this room was opulent, with dark mahogany furniture and walls lined with books. A fire crackled in the hearth, casting flickering shadows across the room. Jonathan stood by the window, his hands clasped behind his back. He turned as Eliza entered, his piercing gaze locking onto hers. "Eliza," he said, his voice smooth as silk, "you've shown remarkable progress since joining us. I believe you're ready to take the next step." "What do you need me to do?" she asked, her voice steady despite the anxiety coiling in her chest. Jonathan gestured for her to sit. "There is a corrupt businessman in the city, a man who exploits the vulnerable for his own gain. He owns a chain of predatory loan companies that have ruined countless lives. We've tried reasoning with him, but he refuses to change his ways." Eliza frowned. "What does this have to do with us?" "Our mission," Jonathan explained, "is to fight against injustice. Sometimes, that requires action. Direct action." He handed her a folder containing photographs, addresses, and a detailed schedule. "Tomorrow night, you and a small group of our most trusted members will infiltrate his office and destroy his records. It will send a message that his greed will no longer be tolerated." Eliza's pulse quickened. Isn't that illegal? Jonathan leaned forward, his expression intense. What is legality when the system itself is corrupt? We are the agents of a higher moral authority, Eliza. Do you trust me? The question hung in the air, heavy with implication. After a moment, she nodded. Yes. The mission begins. The following night, Eliza found herself in a van with three other members of the sanctuary. Lila Marston, a fervent believer whose loyalty to Jonathan bordered on obsession. Marcus, a quiet but imposing man who rarely spoke. And Michael, whose presence unsettled Eliza in ways she couldn't quite define. Lila drove, her eyes fixed on the road. This is more than just a mission, she said. It's a chance to prove we're willing to fight for what's right. Eliza glanced at Michael, hoping for some reassurance, but his expression was unreadable. She couldn't shake the feeling that he was withholding something. The van pulled up outside a nondescript office building. Marcus handed out black masks and gloves, his silence unnerving. Eliza hesitated before putting hers on, the fabric suffocating against her skin. Remember, Lila said, her voice firm. We're doing this for the greater good. Breaking and entering. The group moved with practiced efficiency, guided by the detailed plans Jonathan had provided. Marcus picked the lock on the back door, and they slipped inside, their footsteps silent on the polished floors. Eliza's heart pounded as they made their way to the office. She kept close to Michael, who seemed oddly calm amidst the tension. When they reached the file room, Marcus began rifling through cabinets while Lila set up a small device that emitted a faint hissing sound. What's that? Eliza whispered. A chemical accelerant, Lila replied. We're burning everything. The thought made Eliza's stomach churn. She looked to Michael, who finally spoke. It's not too late to back out. His words caught her off guard. What do you mean? He shrugged. You're new. No one would blame you if you weren't ready for this. Before she could respond, Marcus interrupted. We've got company. A narrow escape. The sound of distant footsteps echoed down the hallway. Lila cursed under her breath, grabbing the accelerant and signaling for the group to move. They fled through the building, the tension rising with every step. As they neared the exit, a security guard appeared, his flashlight sweeping the hallway. For a brief moment, Eliza froze, panic paralyzing her. But Michael grabbed her arm, pulling her into a dark corner just as the guard turned their way. Stay quiet, he whispered, his breath warm against her ear. The guard lingered for what felt like an eternity before moving on. When the coast was clear, the group bolted for the van, their breaths ragged as they climbed inside. Lila slammed the door shut. What the hell happened back there? She snapped, glaring at Marcus. Doesn't matter, he replied curtly. We got what we came for. A troubling revelation. Back at the sanctuary, the group was met with applause. Jonathan stood at the center of the crowd, his expression one of quiet pride. Well done, he said, his voice carrying over the murmurs of the followers. Tonight, we have struck a blow against injustice. Eliza forced a smile, but her mind was racing. The mission had been a success, but it felt hollow. The destruction, the risk, it didn't align with the ideals Jonathan had preached. Later, as she lay in bed, Michael knocked on her door. She let him in, her nerves frayed. What you said earlier, she began, about backing out. Why did you say that? Michael hesitated, his jaw tightening. Because I've seen what happens to people who don't follow orders. His words chilled her. What do you mean? Jonathan isn't just a leader, Michael said, his voice low. He's a puppeteer. And once you're in his web, there's no easy way out. Chapter 4. The Warning. Shadows of Doubt. Eliza spent the following days grappling with the aftermath of the mission. The adrenaline rush had long since faded, replaced by an unsettling sense of unease. While the other members of the sanctuary celebrated their success, she couldn't ignore the gnawing feeling that something was profoundly wrong. Michael's cryptic warning echoed in her mind. Once you're in his web, there's no easy way out. She tried to push the thought aside, to focus on her tasks and the teachings of the sanctuary, but her instincts wouldn't let her rest. That evening, Jonathan called for another assembly. The followers gathered in the grand hall, their faces illuminated by the flickering glow of dozens of candles. Eliza took a seat near the back, her eyes fixed on the man who had captivated them all. Jonathan's presence was magnetic, his voice a melodic blend of authority and compassion. He spoke of unity, of the sacrifices required to build a better world. But as Eliza listened, she couldn't shake the feeling that his words were a veil, hiding something far darker. A fateful encounter. After the assembly, Eliza lingered near the exit, hoping to avoid conversation. She was about to leave when a voice called her name. Eliza. She turned to see Detective Harold Price standing near the edge of the property, his figure partially obscured by the shadows of the trees. Her heart leapt into her throat. What was he doing here? Eliza, I need to talk to you, he said, his tone urgent. She hesitated, glancing around to ensure no one else was watching. Reluctantly, she stepped closer. What are you doing here? I've been following the sanctuary for months, Price said. Jonathan Kane isn't who you think he is. He's dangerous. Eliza folded her arms, her skepticism apparent. You don't know him. Don't I? Price countered, his voice lowering. I know he's been linked to a string of crimes across the state. Arson, theft, even murder. He wraps his followers around his finger, uses them to do his dirty work, and when they're no longer useful, he discards them. His words sent a chill down her spine. Why are you telling me this? Because you're new. You haven't been pulled in too deep yet. I can help you get out. Eliza shook her head, stepping back. You don't understand. The sanctuary is about something bigger than just one person. We're trying to make a difference. By committing crimes? Price challenged. Wake up, Eliza. Jonathan isn't building a sanctuary, he's building a cult. The word hit her like a slap. She opened her mouth to argue, but no words came. Price pressed on. Think about it, he said. Has he ever asked for your opinion? Or does he tell you what to think, what to believe? Does he encourage questions, or punish them? Eliza swallowed hard, her mind racing. Price stepped closer, his expression softening. It's not too late. But if you stay, you'll be trapped just like the rest of them. Before she could respond, a rustling sound behind her made her freeze. She turned to see Amos Burke standing a few feet away, his face a mask of disapproval. Is everything all right, Eliza? Amos asked, his voice calm but firm. Eliza glanced back at Price, but he was already retreating into the darkness. Her heart pounded as she forced a smile. Yes. Amos. Just getting some fresh air. Seeds of mistrust. Amos didn't press her further, but the encounter left Eliza shaken. As she returned to her room, Price's words swirled in her mind. Does he encourage questions, or punish them? She thought about the ritual of trust, about the mission, about the unwavering devotion of the followers. The web metaphor felt more apt than ever, each thread binding her tighter to the sanctuary, each act of loyalty making it harder to leave. The next morning, Amos pulled her aside after breakfast. I noticed you seemed unsettled last night, he said. Is there something on your mind? Eliza hesitated, choosing her words carefully. I guess I'm still adjusting. Everything feels so intense here. Amos nodded, his expression sympathetic. That's natural. Transformation is never easy. But remember, we're here for you. Jonathan is here for you. His words were meant to reassure her, but they only deepened her unease. She forced a smile and excused herself, retreating to the gardens where she could think in peace. The test of loyalty. Later that day, Jonathan summoned her to his study. She entered cautiously, her nerves on edge. He stood by the window, his back to her, the golden light of the afternoon casting him in silhouette. Eliza, he said without turning around. How do you feel about your progress here? She hesitated. I think I'm learning a lot. Jonathan turned to face her, his piercing blue eyes studying her intently. Good. Growth is essential. But growth requires trust and loyalty. The word hung in the air like a challenge. Eliza's pulse quickened. I understand. Do you? He asked, stepping closer. Because I heard about your little conversation with Detective Price. Her breath caught in her throat. I didn't say anything. He approached me. Jonathan's gaze didn't waver. Price is a threat to everything we've built here. He spreads lies, sows doubt. If he contacts you again, you'll report it immediately. Do you understand? Eliza nodded, her voice barely above a whisper. Yes. Jonathan's expression softened into a smile, but it didn't reach his eyes. Good. I knew I could count on you. The dilemma. That night, Eliza lay awake in bed, torn between conflicting loyalties. Jonathan's words were persuasive, but Price's warning had planted a seed of doubt that refused to be ignored. Her thoughts were interrupted by a soft knock at her door. She opened it to find Michael standing there, his expression tense. We need to talk, he said. She let him in, her heart pounding. What is it? Michael hesitated, glancing toward the window as if expecting to be watched. I know you talked to Price. Eliza's stomach dropped. How do you know? Because I've been watching you, he admitted. I needed to know if you could be trusted. Her fear gave way to anger. Trusted by who? Jonathan. No, Michael said, his voice firm. Trusted by me. The words caught her off guard. What are you talking about? Michael stepped closer, his voice dropping to a whisper. Jonathan isn't who he pretends to be. Price is right. This isn't a sanctuary. It's a trap. And if you don't get out soon, it'll be too late. Chapter 5. The Betrayal. Revelations in the Dark. Eliza stared at Michael, her thoughts racing. His words echoed the warnings Detective Price had given her, but hearing them from someone inside the sanctuary felt far more damning. What do you mean? She whispered, her voice barely audible over the pounding of her heart. Michael closed the door quietly and leaned against it, his face shadowed in the dim light. I joined this place for the same reason you did, to find meaning. At first, I believed in Jonathan's vision. But it didn't take long to see the cracks. What cracks? Eliza pressed. The way he controls people, Michael said, his voice low and urgent. The way he uses fear and guilt to keep everyone in line. And the missions, he calls them acts of justice, but they're just crimes, Eliza. He manipulates us into doing his dirty work. Eliza's breath caught. She thought of the mission, of the burning files and the near escape from the guard. At the time, she'd rationalized it as a necessary act, but now she wasn't so sure. Why haven't you left? She asked. Michael's jaw tightened. Because leaving isn't as simple as walking away. Once you're in, Jonathan makes sure you stay. People who try to leave, they don't just disappear. They're erased. A cold dread settled over her. Erased. Michael nodded. Jonathan has eyes everywhere. Amos, Lila, they're not just devoted followers. They're enforcers. If they even suspect someone is disloyal, they report it to Jonathan. And Jonathan deals with it. Eliza shivered. Why are you telling me this? Because I see the doubt in your eyes, Michael said. You're smart, Eliza. You know something's not right here. And if we work together, maybe we can get out before it's too late. The web tightens. The following days were a blur of tension and paranoia. Every interaction felt fraught with unspoken threats. Amos's watchful eyes seemed to linger on her a little too long, and Lila's cheerful demeanor carried an undercurrent of suspicion. Eliza felt the walls closing in, the web tightening around her. Jonathan continued to play his role as the benevolent leader, but Eliza could no longer ignore the cracks in his facade. His sermons, once inspiring, now felt like carefully crafted performances. His promises of unity and purpose were beginning to sound hollow. One evening, while tending to the gardens, Eliza overheard a conversation between Amos and Lila. Their voices were low, but the urgency in their tone caught her attention. She's been acting strange, Lila said. Quiet. Distant. She's new, Amos replied. Adjusting takes time. But what if she's a threat? Lila pressed. You know how Price operates. He plants seeds of doubt. Amos's response was muffled, but the implication was clear. They were talking about her. Eliza's blood ran cold. A desperate plan. That night, Eliza sought out Michael. They met in the shadows of the forest, far from the prying eyes of the sanctuary. They're on to me, she said, her voice trembling. Amos and Lila, they're watching me. Michael's expression darkened. We need to move fast. What do we do? Eliza asked. I've been planning my escape for weeks, Michael said. There's a back road that leads out of the valley. It's unguarded, but we'll have to move at night. Eliza hesitated. What about Price? He said he could help. Michael shook his head. Price can't protect us inside the sanctuary. If we're caught trying to leave, Jonathan will make an example of us. The weight of the decision pressed down on her. Stay and risk being exposed, or leave and risk everything. Neither option felt safe, but she knew she couldn't stay any longer. I'm in, she said finally. What do we need to do? The betrayal. The night of their escape arrived faster than Eliza expected. She and Michael packed only what they could carry, a few essentials and a map of the valley. They waited until the sanctuary was quiet, the followers asleep in their quarters. As they crept through the shadows, Eliza's heart pounded in her chest. Every creak of the floorboards, every whisper of the wind felt like a warning. She kept close to Michael, trusting his experience to guide them. They reached the edge of the property and slipped through a gap in the fence. The forest beyond was dense and dark, the trees casting long shadows under the moonlight. We're almost there, Michael whispered, his voice barely audible. But as they reached the back road, a blinding spotlight erupted from the trees, bathing them in harsh light. Stop right there. Eliza's stomach dropped as Amos stepped into view, flanked by two other followers. Behind them, Lila emerged, her face a mask of triumph. I knew it, Lila said, her voice dripping with smug satisfaction. You were never one of us. Michael stepped in front of Eliza, his stance protective. Let her go, Amos. She doesn't belong here. Amos shook his head. Jonathan was right. You've been poisoned by doubt, Michael. And now you're trying to spread it to others. What happens now? Eliza asked, her voice shaking. Now, Amos said, his tone grave, we return to the sanctuary. Jonathan will decide your fate. A leader's wrath. Back at the sanctuary, Jonathan awaited them in the assembly hall. The followers were gathered, their faces a mix of confusion and anger. Eliza and Michael were forced to kneel before him, their wrists bound with rope. Jonathan paced in front of them, his expression a blend of disappointment and fury. I welcomed you into my home, he said, his voice heavy with reproach. I gave you purpose, a family. And this is how you repay me. Eliza lifted her head, meeting his gaze. You don't give people purpose. You take it from them. You manipulate them. A murmur rippled through the crowd, but Jonathan silenced it with a single raised hand. Eliza, he said, his voice softening, you're confused. You've been led astray by Price's lies and Michael's weakness. But I can forgive you, if you're willing to atone. And if I'm not, she challenged. Jonathan's smile was cold. Then you leave me no choice. He turned to the followers. This is what happens when doubt is allowed to fester. It spreads like a disease, threatening everything we've built. But we are stronger than doubt. We are stronger than betrayal. The crowd erupted in cheers, their fervor unnerving. Eliza's heart sank as she realized just how deep Jonathan's control ran. The turning point. As Jonathan addressed the crowd, Michael leaned close to Eliza and whispered, "Trust me." Before she could ask what he meant, he surged to his feet, breaking free from his bindings with a strength that stunned the crowd. He lunged at Amos, knocking him to the ground, then grabbed Eliza's arm and pulled her to her feet. Run, he shouted. The assembly descended into chaos as Michael and Eliza sprinted for the exit. Followers tried to block their path, but Michael fought them off with a ferocity Eliza hadn't known he possessed. They burst through the doors and into the night, the shouts of the followers fading behind them. Eliza's lungs burned as they ran, her fear driving her forward. For the first time since joining the sanctuary, she felt a flicker of hope. But she knew the fight was far from over. Chapter 6. The Revelation. A Fragile Freedom. Eliza and Michael didn't stop running until the sanctuary was far behind them, its eerie glow swallowed by the dense forest. The night was cold, and the forest was alive with the sounds of rustling leaves and distant animal calls. Eliza's legs burned, and her breath came in ragged gasps, but she didn't dare slow down. Finally, Michael signaled for them to stop. They collapsed against a fallen log, their bodies trembling with exhaustion and adrenaline. "Did we lose them?" Eliza managed between breaths. Michael nodded, scanning the darkness behind them. "For now. But they'll come looking." Eliza clutched her knees, her mind reeling. She had escaped, but at what cost? The sanctuary wasn't just a place, it was a fortress of secrets, and Jonathan Kane wouldn't let them go so easily. "We need to find Price," Michael said, his voice breaking the silence. "He's our only shot at taking Jonathan down." Eliza hesitated. "Why do you trust him? What if he's just another manipulator?" Michael met her gaze, his expression somber. "Because he's the only one who's ever tried to help. If we don't take this chance, Jonathan will win. The hunter and the hunted." The journey through the forest was grueling. Michael led the way, his movements precise and deliberate, as if he'd memorized every twist and turn. Eliza followed closely, her thoughts a jumble of fear and resolve. She kept glancing over her shoulder, half expecting Amos or Lila to appear out of the shadows. Hours passed before they reached a small clearing. In the center stood an abandoned cabin, its windows shattered and its wooden frame weathered by time. Michael pushed the door open, revealing a sparse interior with a broken table and a fireplace clogged with debris. "It's not much," he said, "but it'll keep us hidden for now." Eliza nodded, too tired to argue. She sank onto the floor, her back against the wall. Michael lit a small candle he'd found, its flickering light casting long shadows across the room. As they rested, the reality of their situation began to sink in. They weren't just escapees, they were targets. And Jonathan's reach extended far beyond the sanctuary. A cryptic ally. The next day, Eliza and Michael made their way to the nearest town, a small, quiet place nestled in the hills. It was there, in a dingy diner, that they finally met Detective Price. He sat in a corner booth, his posture relaxed but his eyes alert. When Eliza and Michael approached, he gestured for them to sit. "You made it out," Price said, his tone neutral but edged with relief. "I wasn't sure you would." "We don't have much time," Michael said, his voice urgent. "Jonathan knows we've left. He'll send people after us." Price nodded, leaning forward. "Tell me everything. The missions, the rituals, the structure. Anything that can help me build a case." Eliza hesitated, glancing at Michael. "What happens if we help you? Can you really stop him?" Price's expression hardened. "Jonathan Kane is a master manipulator, but even he isn't above the law. If we expose him for what he is, his empire will crumble. But I need evidence. Solid evidence." Michael began recounting their time in the sanctuary, detailing the missions and the punishments for disobedience. Eliza added what she could, describing the rituals and the atmosphere of control. Price listened intently, taking notes. "You're brave for coming forward," he said when they finished. "But this is just the beginning. We need to find something concrete. Records, testimonies, anything that links Jonathan directly to the crimes." A shocking revelation. As they strategized, Price dropped a bombshell that made Eliza's blood run cold. "Jonathan Kane wasn't always the man you know. He used to be a psychologist. A brilliant one. He specialized in cult deprogramming, helping people escape from situations like this." Eliza's jaw dropped. "You're saying he knows exactly how to manipulate people because he used to help them escape?" Price nodded grimly. Exactly. Somewhere along the way, he stopped fighting cults and decided to create his own. He knows every trick in the book, every psychological weakness to exploit. The revelation sent a shiver down Eliza's spine. Jonathan's charisma, his calculated words, it all made sense now. He wasn't just a manipulative leader. He was a master of psychological warfare. A risky plan. With Price's help, Eliza and Michael devised a plan to infiltrate the sanctuary one last time. The goal was to find Jonathan's hidden records, evidence of the crimes he'd orchestrated and the control he wielded over his followers. It's risky, Price admitted, but it's the only way. If we can get those records, we can bring him down. Michael was hesitant. If we're caught, there's no coming back. He'll make sure of it. Eliza's determination burned bright. We have to do this. For everyone he's hurt. For everyone still trapped there. Price nodded, his expression resolute. You won't be alone. I'll be nearby, ready to intervene if things go south. The return. As night fell, Eliza and Michael approached the sanctuary under the cover of darkness. The sight of the familiar buildings sent a wave of anxiety crashing over Eliza, but she pushed it aside. This was their chance to end Jonathan's reign of terror. They slipped through the same gap in the fence they had used to escape. The grounds were eerily quiet, the shadows stretching long under the moonlight. Eliza's heart pounded as they made their way to Jonathan's study. Inside, they found a locked cabinet. Michael worked quickly to pick the lock, his hands steady despite the tension. Hurry, Eliza whispered, glancing nervously at the door. Finally, the lock clicked open. Inside were files, ledgers, and a laptop. Eliza grabbed as much as she could, stuffing the documents into a bag. Suddenly, footsteps echoed down the hall. Eliza and Michael froze, their eyes meeting in silent panic. Go, Michael whispered. I'll distract them. No, Eliza hissed. We stick together. But before she could argue further, the door burst open, and Amos stood there, flanked by two followers. His eyes burned with fury. You shouldn't have come back, he growled. A fight for freedom. Chaos erupted as Amos lunged at Michael. Eliza scrambled to protect the bag of evidence, her mind racing. She couldn't let it fall into their hands, not after everything they'd risked. Michael fought fiercely, holding off Amos and the others while Eliza searched for a way out. Spotting a window, she smashed it with a chair and climbed through, clutching the bag tightly. Michael, she screamed, but he didn't follow. She hesitated, torn between running and staying to help. Go! Michael shouted, his voice raw. Don't let it be for nothing. With tears streaming down her face, Eliza ran into the night, her heart breaking with every step. Chapter 7. The Escape Plan. A Desperate Retreat. Eliza ran through the dense forest, the bag of evidence clutched tightly to her chest. The cold air burned her lungs, and the branches clawed at her skin, but she didn't stop. Michael's voice echoed in her mind. Don't let it be for nothing. The darkness felt alive with threats. She could hear the distant shouts of Amos and the other followers as they searched for her. Every sound, a snapping twig, the rustle of leaves, sent her heart racing. She had to stay ahead of them, had to get this evidence to Price. Finally, she stumbled upon a clearing where Price was waiting in an unmarked car. He leapt out as soon as he saw her, his face etched with concern. Where's Michael? He asked. Eliza shook her head, tears streaming down her face. He stayed behind. To buy me time. Price's jaw tightened, but he didn't press further. Get in. We need to move. The pursuit. As Price drove, Eliza kept glancing out the window, half expecting to see headlights or figures emerging from the darkness. Her hands trembled as she clutched the bag, the weight of its contents both literal and metaphorical. What did you find? Price asked, his eyes flicking toward her in the rearview mirror. Files, ledgers, a laptop, Eliza said. It's all in here. Proof of everything. His orders, the money he's taken, the lives he's ruined. Price nodded, his expression grim. That's enough to build a case, but we'll need to move quickly. If Jonathan knows you have this, he won't stop until he gets it back. Eliza swallowed hard, her mind racing. What about Michael? We can't just leave him. I know, Price said. But if we go back now, we risk losing everything. The best way to help him is to bring Jonathan down. Eliza hated the logic, but she couldn't argue with it. She leaned back in her seat, her heart heavy with guilt and fear. A temporary haven. Price took her to a safe house on the outskirts of the city, a small, nondescript apartment hidden in a run-down building. The windows were covered with blackout curtains, and the furniture was sparse but functional. You'll be safe here for now, Price said, setting the bag of evidence on the table. I'll get this to my team. We'll start building the case tonight. Eliza nodded, exhaustion overtaking her. She sank onto the couch, her body aching from the night's events. As Price left, she felt the crushing weight of isolation. Michael was still out there, and she had no idea if he was alive or dead. A twist of fate. The next morning, Price returned with news that sent a chill through Eliza. Michael's alive, he said, his tone cautious. But he's been captured. Jonathan's holding him at the sanctuary. Eliza's breath caught. We have to go back. Price shook his head. It's too dangerous. If Jonathan suspects you're working with me, he'll use Michael to lure you in. Eliza stood, her fists clenched. We can't just leave him there. He sacrificed himself so I could escape. Price sighed, running a hand through his hair. I'm working on a plan, but it's going to take time. We need to gather more evidence, get warrants, and bring in reinforcements. If we rush this, we could lose everything. Eliza's frustration boiled over. He doesn't have time, Price. You've seen what Jonathan is capable of. If we wait too long, Michael won't survive. The plan. Despite Price's objections, Eliza insisted on being part of the rescue mission. Reluctantly, he agreed, but only after she promised to follow his lead. We'll need to be smart about this, Price said. Jonathan won't expect us to come back so soon, but that doesn't mean he won't be prepared. We'll use the evidence you collected as leverage. If we can force his hand, we might be able to get Michael out without a fight. Eliza nodded, her resolve hardening. Let's do it. Back to the web. The drive back to the sanctuary was tense. Eliza's stomach churned as they approached the familiar grounds. Memories of her time there flooded back, each one tinged with fear and regret. Price parked the car a safe distance away, and they approached on foot. The plan was simple but risky. Price would confront Jonathan directly, using the evidence to demand Michael's release. Eliza would stay hidden, ready to act if things went wrong. As they neared the main building, Price turned to her. Are you sure about this? Eliza met his gaze, her determination unwavering. I'm not leaving without him. The confrontation. Price entered the assembly hall alone, his presence immediately drawing the attention of the followers gathered there. Jonathan stood at the front of the room, his expression calm but his eyes cold. Detective Price, Jonathan said, his voice smooth. What an unexpected visit. Price didn't waste time with pleasantries. He held up the bag of evidence. I have everything I need to bring you down. Ledgers, orders, proof of your crimes. Release Michael Turner, and I might consider being lenient. Jonathan's smile didn't falter, but a flicker of tension crossed his face. You think you can walk in here and make demands? My people won't let you take me. Price gestured toward the followers. They're not your people, Jonathan. They're your victims. How many of them know the truth about you? About what you've done? A murmur spread through the crowd, doubt seeping into their ranks. Jonathan's composure began to crack. The escape. As Jonathan tried to regain control of the room, Eliza slipped into the building. She navigated the familiar halls, her heart pounding as she searched for Michael. She found him in a small, locked room near the back of the building. His face was bruised, but his eyes lit up when he saw her. Eliza, he breathed. You shouldn't be here. I couldn't leave you, she said, working to unlock the door. We're getting out of here. The lock clicked open, and Michael stepped out, his movements sluggish but determined. Together, they made their way back toward the assembly hall, where chaos had erupted. Jonathan was shouting, his calm facade shattered as Price continued to dismantle his authority. Followers were arguing among themselves, their faith in him crumbling under the weight of Price's revelations. Eliza, Price called when he saw her. Get him out of here. Eliza nodded, helping Michael toward the exit. Jonathan's eyes followed them, his expression twisting with rage. This isn't over, he snarled. You can't destroy me. Eliza met his gaze, her voice steady. Your web is falling apart, Jonathan. You won't trap anyone else. A fragile victory. They made it out of the sanctuary and back to Price's car. As they sped away, Eliza allowed herself to breathe for the first time in what felt like forever. Michael leaned against her, his strength fading. We did it, he murmured. Eliza nodded, tears streaming down her face. We did. But she knew the fight wasn't over. Jonathan Kane's web had been damaged, but it wasn't destroyed. Not yet. Chapter 8. The Confrontation. A Reckoning. Eliza, Michael, and Price returned to the safe house in the early hours of the morning. The adrenaline that had carried them through their daring escape had faded, replaced by exhaustion and the weight of what lay ahead. Michael collapsed onto the couch, wincing as he adjusted his bruised body. Are you okay? Eliza asked, kneeling beside him. I'll live, Michael said with a faint smile, though the pain in his eyes betrayed the truth. Price set the bag of evidence on the table, his expression grim. We have enough to take Jonathan down, but it won't be easy. He's going to fight back, and he has resources we don't. Eliza straightened, determination sparking in her eyes. Then we hit him where it hurts. We show his followers the truth. Price nodded, but his tone was cautious. If we expose him publicly, he'll lose his grip on the sanctuary. But he'll also become more dangerous. Cornered animals are the most unpredictable, planting the seeds of doubt. The first step of their plan was to undermine Jonathan's control over his followers. Using the files and recordings they had retrieved, Price created a dossier detailing the cult leader's crimes: financial fraud, psychological manipulation, and the orchestrated missions that had left a trail of destruction. Eliza and Michael compiled the most damning pieces into pamphlets and digital files. Price reached out to journalists and online activists, ensuring the information would spread quickly and widely. This will force his hand, Price said as he sent the final email. He won't be able to silence all of us. Eliza couldn't suppress a grim smile. Good. Let him feel what it's like to lose control. The web crumbles. The fallout began almost immediately. As the evidence circulated online and in the media, the sanctuary's once peaceful grounds erupted in chaos. Followers began to question Jonathan's teachings, and many left, taking their families and belongings with them. Eliza watched the coverage unfold from the safe house, a mix of satisfaction and dread building in her chest. The footage showed a sanctuary in disarray, empty hallways, abandoned gardens, and a leader struggling to maintain his grip. But Jonathan wasn't finished. He issued a public statement, calling the accusations lies and branding Eliza and Michael as traitors. His voice, once calm and persuasive, was now laced with desperation. He's losing his power, Michael said, watching the broadcast. But he's not going down without a fight. The final move. The tipping point came when one of Jonathan's closest allies, Margot Kane, his estranged sister, came forward with her own testimony. She revealed long-buried secrets about Jonathan's past, including the psychological experiments he had conducted on his earliest followers. He's a master manipulator, Margot said in a televised interview. He doesn't believe in the cause. He believes in control. The interview was a devastating blow. Followers who had clung to Jonathan's teachings began to abandon him en masse. But for Eliza, the fight wasn't over. She knew Jonathan wouldn't go quietly. The showdown. Price received a tip that Jonathan was planning to flee the sanctuary with his most loyal followers. The team moved quickly, coordinating with law enforcement to stage a raid. Eliza insisted on coming along. "I need to see this through," she said. "I need to face him." Price reluctantly agreed, but only if she stayed in the background. "This isn't just about you, Eliza," he warned. "It's about everyone he's hurt." The raid took place under the cover of night. Law enforcement surrounded the sanctuary, cutting off all exits. Eliza and Price waited in the shadows as officers moved in, their flashlights slicing through the darkness. Inside, Jonathan sat in his study, his calm demeanor a stark contrast to the chaos outside. When the officers burst in, he didn't resist. Instead, he smiled. "You think this will stop me?" he said, his voice eerily serene. "You can't destroy an idea." The final confrontation. As Jonathan was led out in handcuffs, Eliza stepped forward. For a moment, their eyes met, and the weight of everything he had done crashed over her. "You were never building a sanctuary," she said, her voice steady. "You were building a prison." Jonathan's smile faltered. For the first time, he looked vulnerable. "And you," he said, his voice barely above a whisper, "were my brightest star. Such a shame." Eliza didn't respond. She watched as he was loaded into a police car, the weight of his gaze finally lifting from her shoulders. A new beginning. With Jonathan behind bars and the sanctuary dismantled, Eliza and Michael began the slow process of rebuilding their lives. They worked with Price to help other former followers transition back into the world, offering support and guidance to those still grappling with the aftermath. "You did it," Michael said one evening as they watched the sunset from a quiet hillside. "You brought him down." "We did it," Eliza corrected, a small smile tugging at her lips. "But the fight's not over. There are others like him out there." Michael nodded. "Then we'll keep fighting. Together." As the sun dipped below the horizon, Eliza felt a sense of peace she hadn't known in years. The web that had once trapped her was gone, and in its place was a path forward, a path she would walk, not as a pawn, but as a survivor. Chapter 9. The Uprising. Echoes of the Past. Even with Jonathan Kane behind bars, the sanctuary's influence lingered like a shadow. Eliza couldn't escape the memories of her time there. The rituals, the missions, the manipulation. And she wasn't alone. Former followers who had left the sanctuary were struggling to piece their lives back together. Many were lost, unsure of how to navigate a world that had once seemed so distant and hostile. Eliza and Michael dedicated themselves to helping these individuals, setting up a support network with the help of Detective Price. They called it the Reclamation Project, a safe space where former followers could share their stories and rebuild their sense of autonomy. "It's not enough to take down one manipulator," Eliza told Michael one evening. "We have to undo the damage he caused." Michael nodded, his expression resolute. "And make sure no one else falls into a trap like his. Sparks of resistance." Despite the progress they were making, not everyone was ready to let go of Jonathan Kane. A core group of his most loyal followers, now scattered across the state, were determined to carry on his legacy. They called themselves the True Sanctuary, a splinter group that operated in the shadows, spreading Jonathan's teachings online and recruiting vulnerable individuals. "They're like cockroaches," Price said during a strategy meeting. "You stamp one out, and another pops up. We need to cut off their funding and expose their leaders." Eliza leaned forward, her frustration evident. "If we can reach the people they're targeting, we can stop this before it grows. We know how they think. We know what they're looking for." Michael glanced at her, a flicker of concern in his eyes. "You're not suggesting going undercover again, are you?" Eliza hesitated, but her determination outweighed her fear. "If it means stopping them, then yes. I am. Back into the shadows." Eliza's plan was risky but effective. She created a fake identity, posing as a disillusioned young woman searching for purpose. With Michael and Price monitoring her from a safe distance, she began infiltrating online forums and social media groups associated with the True Sanctuary. The experience was eerily familiar. The same language of hope and salvation, the same promises of community and purpose. But this time, Eliza was armed with knowledge and a mission. After weeks of careful interaction, she caught the attention of one of the group's leaders, a man named Daniel Cross. He was charismatic in a quiet, unassuming way, but his words carried the same manipulative undertones that Jonathan's had. "People like us," Daniel told her during one of their online conversations, "we're not meant for the ordinary world. We're meant for something greater." Eliza played along, feeding his ego while gathering as much information as she could. Every interaction brought her closer to the heart of the group, and closer to danger. The uprising begins. Eliza's work paid off when she was invited to a secret gathering of the True Sanctuary. Held in an abandoned warehouse on the outskirts of the city, the event was a mix of fervent speeches and clandestine planning. The group was small but organized, their devotion to Jonathan's teachings unwavering. As Eliza listened to Daniel speak, she felt a chill run down her spine. He wasn't just continuing Jonathan's work, he was escalating it. Plans for coordinated acts of justice were being discussed, targeting individuals and institutions the group deemed corrupt. "This isn't just about preserving the sanctuary," Daniel declared. "It's about reclaiming the world." Eliza knew she couldn't let this happen. She discreetly recorded the meeting, capturing every detail of their plans. But as the night wore on, her presence began to draw suspicion. "You're new," one of the followers said, his gaze narrowing. "Why are you so interested in what we're doing?" Eliza's heart raced, but she kept her expression calm. "Because I believe in the cause," she said. "And I want to be a part of it." Her answer seemed to satisfy him, for now. The tipping point. When Eliza returned to the safe house, she shared the recordings with Price and Michael. The evidence was damning, detailing plans for attacks that could harm countless innocent people. "This is enough to shut them down," Price said, his eyes gleaming with determination. "We can raid their meeting place and arrest the leaders." Eliza hesitated. "What about the followers?" "Most of them are just like I was. Lost, manipulated. They need help, not punishment." Price sighed. "We'll do what we can, but we can't let this group continue. If we don't act now, more people will get hurt." Michael placed a hand on Eliza's shoulder. "You did the right thing, Eliza. Now it's up to us to finish this. The final raid." The raid took place 2 nights later. Law enforcement descended on the warehouse, catching the True Sanctuary off guard. The leaders were arrested, and the followers were taken into custody for questioning. Eliza stayed outside, watching as the group she had infiltrated was dismantled. Her heart ached for those who had been manipulated, but she knew this was the only way to stop the cycle of control. As Daniel Cross was led out in handcuffs, his eyes locked on Eliza. "You betrayed us," he spat. "You betrayed the sanctuary." Eliza met his gaze, her voice steady. "The sanctuary was a lie. And so are you." A flicker of hope. With the True Sanctuary dismantled, Eliza, Michael, and Price turned their attention back to the reclamation project. They expanded their reach, offering support to former cult members across the country. The work was slow and often heartbreaking, but it was also deeply rewarding. "You've given them a second chance," Price told Eliza one evening. "You've given all of us a second chance." Eliza smiled, her heart lighter than it had been in years. "It's not just me. It's all of us." As she looked out at the growing community they had built, she felt a sense of hope that had once seemed impossible. The web that had trapped her was gone, and in its place was a network of healing, resilience, and strength. Chapter 10. The Aftermath. The Scars of Survival. Months after the fall of Jonathan Kane and the True Sanctuary, life was beginning to settle into something resembling normalcy. The storm that had consumed Eliza's life had passed, but it left behind scars that would never fully heal. She had learned to live with them, drawing strength from the pain rather than letting it define her. The work with the Reclamation Project had grown beyond anything Eliza, Michael, or Price could have imagined. What began as a small network had blossomed into a national movement, helping hundreds of people escape manipulation and rebuild their lives. But the shadows of the past lingered. Late at night, when the world was quiet, Eliza often thought about the people who hadn't made it out, who had been swallowed by Jonathan's web and left behind. Their faces haunted her dreams, a reminder of how close she had come to being one of them. Jonathan's trial. Jonathan Cain's trial was a media sensation, drawing attention from all corners of the country. Former followers testified against him, detailing years of manipulation, abuse, and the heinous crimes committed in the name of his so-called sanctuary. The evidence Eliza had gathered was instrumental, painting a damning picture of a man who had wielded power like a weapon. Eliza sat in the courtroom during the proceedings, her presence a silent reminder of his failure to control her. She watched as Jonathan sat at the defendant's table, his once commanding presence diminished. He looked older, his charisma reduced to hollow attempts at justification. When the verdict was delivered, guilty on all charges, Eliza felt a weight lift from her shoulders. Justice had been served, but it didn't erase the pain he had caused. As Jonathan was led away, he glanced back at Eliza. His expression was unreadable, but she felt no fear. He was no longer the man who had held her in his web. He was just a man, broken and defeated. A new beginning. Back at the Reclamation Project headquarters, Eliza and Michael worked tirelessly to expand their efforts. They partnered with mental health professionals, law enforcement, and other advocacy groups, creating a comprehensive system of support for survivors of manipulation and abuse. Michael had become her rock, their bond forged in the fires of shared trauma. Together, they had faced the worst humanity had to offer and emerged stronger. One evening, as they sat in the quiet of the office, Michael turned to her. "Do you ever think about what's next?" Eliza smiled faintly. "Every day. But for now, this feels right. Helping people, making sure no one else falls into a trap like we did, it's enough." Michael nodded, a glimmer of hope in his eyes. "Then we keep going. Healing and closure." Eliza visited the sanctuary one last time. The once thriving grounds were overgrown and silent, the buildings crumbling with neglect. It was a stark reminder of the fragility of power and the resilience of those who had escaped it. She stood in the assembly hall, now empty and echoing, and let the memories wash over her. The fear, the manipulation, the courage it had taken to break free. This place no longer held power over her. It was just a relic of the past. As she turned to leave, she felt a sense of closure. The sanctuary was behind her now, and the future was hers to shape. A network of light. Months turned into years, and the Reclamation Project became a beacon of hope for those who had been trapped in webs of manipulation. Eliza and Michael traveled the country, sharing their story and helping others find the strength to reclaim their lives. One day, as Eliza spoke at a conference, she looked out at the faces of the audience, survivors, advocates, and allies. She saw strength, resilience, and the unyielding desire to create a better world. "We all have the power to break free," she said, her voice steady. "To rewrite our stories, to rebuild what was taken from us. And together, we can make sure no one else is ever trapped in a web like this." The room erupted in applause, but Eliza felt no need for validation. She wasn't the same person who had walked into the sanctuary searching for purpose. She had found it, not in Jonathan Cain's lies, but in the strength to overcome them. As the applause faded, Eliza smiled. The web was gone, and in its place was a network of light, spreading hope to those who needed it most. Epilogue. In a quiet corner of the city, Eliza sat on a park bench, watching children play and families laugh. The world was still flawed, still messy, but it was also beautiful. She had found peace, not the hollow promise of salvation offered by Jonathan Cain, but the real, hard-earned peace that came from facing the darkness and finding her way back to the light. And as she sat there, she knew that her journey wasn't over. There were still battles to fight, still people to help. But for the first time in a long time, she felt ready.